You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. The government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life,
running like a red disease,
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Excuse me. Hotel family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But it looked like if you were in the eastern portion of the United States, it wasn't. They even closed stuff down here, and it didn't even have to. But hey, I understand. You know, when there's a threat of serious weather, precautions need to be taken. And so things get postponed. Yeah. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But of course, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But of course, you can do the shortcut. You can just do go online and go to babaoshi.net. Baba, B-A-B-A, Oshi, O-S-H-I.net. And there you'll see those programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And Kamal Kamban, Dr. Kamal Kamban, who is in Ghana. And then, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. On Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And please go on the website, WeBuyBlack.com. And if you can make a contribution to the effort to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, it should have been done. I mean, I say that all the time when I bring this up, because that's a fact. That is a fact. It's an embarrassment. Okay, let me. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Hopefully he'll be my guest this Friday. I'm trying to work on that. Let me give him a call back. So, because I definitely want to talk with him, Africa for the Africans. He
made a trip to Ghana, and his next trip is April 1st through the 11th, going to Senegal and Gambia. Then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana, and then November 17th through the 28th to Tanzania. All of them are $3,800, very reasonable. Make a down payment, pay on it constantly, or how you can deal with it, you know, maybe once a month, whatever. And then, of course, once you're done, there, you are prepared to go
this
to a trip of a lifetime.
Or transcribed.
A trip of a lifetime, going to the motherland. That's a beautiful thing. So, Brother Monty Tahemba, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomonti. Facebook.com/Bomonti. You want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomonti2007. He's very good at updating. So the most recent trips will be highlighted and presented. So check it out. Like I said, he just came back from Ghana, and he was in Tanzania at the back in November of last year. So AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And, of course, go to the website, and everything that you need to make a trip of a lifetime, of course, is on the website, and he updates it consistently. So, Africa for the Africans. Habeshah Incorporated. Habeshah Incorporated. Habeshah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And Habeshah Incorporated.org. And the programs that they have, well, of course, Habeshah is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, and holistic health and technology. And just please go to the website. There's great pictures of the work that they are doing here and the work that they're doing in Ghana. And, of course, the Kashi Project, the pictures of the Kashi Project, which, of course, is a community that is being established, beautiful buildings that are up and so forth. And they deal with projects of Habeshah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And just beautiful, beautiful work. Habeshahincorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for the Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE group, they're doing work all over, but one of the places in Kenya and, of course, in Tanzania. And they deal with the four things that are essential to human life: food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries. You know, and sometimes my computer is not acting right here. My computer is not acting. Oh, come on now. That's real foul. This is real foul. Let me bring it back up and see if that'll do it. Oh, okay, well, nothing stops the show. You know that, right? That's right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. And I'm trying to bring this. There we go. There we go. Okay. And they're located around Ralph David Abernathy. They have delicious smooth smoothies and fruit drinks and vitality drinks and pastries and soups and so forth. On weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan dishes that are for sale. At Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. And oh, I didn't do a BB Atumi because my computer act funny. But let me go to a BB Atumi. BB Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com or BB Atumi.com.
and the Kemetic University, Community University, and they have the pictures of our ancestors right there. Bibi Atumi is dedicated to the complete and total liberation of Kemetic or Africa people, the modern African, the lands of African people throughout the African continent and world, from under domination by Eurasians and their anti-African, anti-African collaborators. As such, Bibi Atumi seeks to reclaim and or create systems and tools designed by African people for the benefit of African people in the interest and complete and total liberation, self-determination and self-preservation, and the survival and the sovereignty in each and every area of human activity. Bibi Atumi is about continuing the work of our ancestors by re-Africanizing. Bibi Atumi is about African liberation. African liberation is about the freedom to learn who we are, our ancestors, and the freedom of being who we are not, as inculcated by our oppressors. As Africans, we have a commitment to the survival, advancement, and maximization, fullness, and manifestations of African potentiality of the African world. We are committed to create and maintain the space that will permit us to develop the necessary skills, motivation, and drive to create the necessary focus, individual and collective, to reconstruct the African personality and the African world toward the survival trust. AbibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to AbibiAtumi.com. Become a member. Make that a place that you go to often for forums and events and shopping and so forth. AbibiAtumi.com. Mama Nia at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, and certificates, and T-shirts, figurines, all kind of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. Black Dot. There's light in the Black Dot, brothers and sisters. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Shop. I got to add that because the brother has created a coffee shop where you have coffee, teas, and pastries and bean pie. Right on, Brother Gazimde. Brothers and sisters, give Brother Gazimde a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. And you just may have the book you're looking for. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff there at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Also, too, Afroletics has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market located near Stonecrest, right off of I-20, Interstate 20 in Stonecrest. It used to be a Target building. Now it is the new Black Panther. Black Panther. The new Black Wall Street Market. I just saw Black Panther, and I just see what happens. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. And of course, you can call to listen, or if you have questions, comments, or concerns, at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia, at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. I'm still planning to have him on the program at the end of the month. And I know when I talked to him, he had a issue he had to deal with. Somebody, because it's a main street in Macon there, and their truck swerved off and hit his building. So he's dealing with that. But I look forward to talking with Brother Abijah at the Homeland Cultural Village. I look forward to that. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, give our sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Rulio has done outstanding work with our children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Go to our website at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Baba Baruti. Oh, yes. I'm about to mention that the shrine is closed. The Shrine of the Black Madonna is closed. It will be closed for a minute. And let me see, what did I do with that information? Yeah, the shrine is closed. Because of the, as we move forward in 2022, the Shrine of the Black Madonna Cultural Center and Bookstore will be closed temporarily to reorganize the business. The staff thanks you for your continuing support and patronage. Please check the information below to see when we plan to reopen the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Yeah. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Or you can use PayPal or Cash App. The PayPal, $Yah, the letter M Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make your contributions, however you can make them, one time, once a month, or whatever. They will be greatly appreciated. Also, too, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. Go to AkabinHouse.com. Go to AkabinHouse.com for his fine selection of books. And so, the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesim. It was a pleasure to read last week. That was cool. Catch up on some other ones, you know. Yep. January 16th. It is a woman that gives birth to a man. In a Khan proverb. The kind of person a woman is. Her character, her desires, aspirations, and dreams. Her interpretation of reality are all reflected in the man she chooses as her complement. When a woman chooses a man and consistently works with him to remove all doubt as to his power, she is giving birth to a vision of her whole power. Without women, there is no men, biologically, emotionally, intellectually, or spiritually. Let me repeat, without women, there is no men. It is in women that men see their reflection and are able to determine if they measure up to what they desire to be. Just as African women are defined and measured by their grandfathers, fathers, brothers, African men are defined and measured by their grandmothers, mothers, wives, and sisters. This is not a complaint, as some of the more insecure among us would argue. It is a compliment. And a divine one at that. When a woman is doing her work, the man she has selected as her complement, who operates within the traditions of our African ancestors, naturally develops a relationship to her defensive, survival, and emotional needs. If he is truly her man, he evolves in accordance with how she exercises her power. And he sees no threat to his manhood in creating a fence around her garden as strong and secure as she needs it to be. In fact, if he is indeed a man, he takes great pride in serving the woman who reflects his highest ideals. Affirm, women are our center. Affirm, women are our center. January 17th. In this so-called modern world of advanced technology, people are allowed to do what they feel, say what they feel, hide behind a screen name, and violate any codes that they feel without even the slightest thought of any type of repercussions or consequences. Why? Because there are absolutely no rules and there is no accountability. You don't have to be whom you say you are to be respected as such. All you have to do is look good on the internet and dress the part. Anyone can speak on whatever they would like, even if they have no knowledge of the subject. Just look the part and act like you might know. Brother Kalanje Kanjenga. Brother Kalanje Kanjenga is right here in the Atlanta area. Good brother. Just because someone is not paid by the state or employed in an agency dedicated to our genocide does not mean that he or she is not an agent. Some of these agents receive no instructions or financial support from them. Most have never been officially affiliated with any of their offices or operations. In fact, some of Urugu's best agents do not even know they are agents. Affirm, I do not hide behind a screen. Affirm, I do not hide behind a screen. I'm up front with our people. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Brothers and sisters, it is Dr. King's Day. That's right. It is Dr. King's Day. And, you know, 2 days ago, that is his birthday, the 15th, you know. And sometimes his birthday falls on this day. This is the commemoration day that was established by this government to honor this man who they hated, who they vilified, who they tried to, who eventually they killed, you know. It's interesting, isn't it, that the people, and I know for me, who I loved, I understood King, but then I had an affinity and a love for and a respect for Malcolm. I guess because I just had a thing about people who just challenged white folks, who challenged Urugu, challenged their system. You know, King was trying to do the best he could to reform and try to get Caucasians to act right, do right, and be right. And, of course, as we now know, 50-some, 60-some years later, and from our history, it is not going to happen. It's never going to happen, you know. So, but we love Dr. King. We love his efforts. He was born January 15th, 1929. He died April 4th, 1968. 39 years old. And he, you know, was a man of conscience, a man of principle. You know, and I know that they tried to, you know, the government tried to, J. Edgar Hoover, they were eavesdropping on him. You know, they found out that he was seeing some woman, you know, sent that to Claretta. I mean, he was on the road. I don't know, you know. To me, that was his business. But, of course, when you are doing what you are doing, everything that you are doing is going to be scrutinized, whether it's what you're doing publicly or what you're doing privately by these people, you know. So they definitely wanted to discredit him, to vilify him, you know. And that's the interesting thing, is that they hate your ass, and they made and they made the public hate you. He was a troublemaker. Even us, there were some of us who did not like Dr. King, some of the religious people. Yeah, he's causing trouble, you know, because we're so steeped in the Bible, you know, love thy enemies, you know, slave masters, love your slave master. And so Dr. King, working through that and then eventually seeing, you know, I think that his speech on the 1 year before he was killed, April 4th, 1967, at the Riverside Church in New York, when he talked about the Vietnam War. Because, you know, there was three things that Dr. King constantly started talking about towards the end. The three evils: racism, economic exploitation, and militarism. The three evils that Dr. King understood that this country was about: racism, believing, Caucasians believing, and it's, you can see that still today. You can see that still even when these Caucasians, particularly the Republicans, talk about how things are taught in school with critical race theory, and I don't want my kids learning how bad we are, making them feel bad about being Caucasian and dividing people. It don't make a bit of difference. Caucasians are going to divide. It is what they do. Divide and conquer. It is who they are. It is done everywhere they have gone. It is what they do. And so, Dr. King, when he spoke out on that, it was the nail in the coffin, so to speak. It was the planning for his death. 1 year later, and the marches and the demonstrations and so forth. You know, when he went to the Montgomery bus boycott right after the death of Emmett Till, I don't know if you have the streaming, if you've seen the documentary on Emmett Till, or if you've seen the movie, the dramatization of Emmett Till. The sister does an outstanding job of playing Mamie Till. Beautiful, you know. So the new second part is out, and I don't know how many parts it is, but the documentary, the third part, that I haven't seen it, but I'm definitely going to. I've seen the first two. Didn't know that, because the documentaries I've seen didn't mention that Emmett Till's father was court-martialed, was killed in World War II. Allegedly, he's supposed to have raped a white woman. The only thing that was returned was his ring, and that's how he was identified, because his body was so hideous. You could not recognize him facially. Shot a bullet through his head. You can see the other side. Beat him. Tied a cotton gin fan around his neck to weigh him down. Tied it with barbed wire. I'm telling you, some bad people, man. And so many people believe that was the real spark of the civil rights. Not so much the Montgomery bus boycott, but the Montgomery bus boycott also was very key. And of course, the Montgomery bus boycott lasted over a year. Over a year, those Caucasians, you know, until finally they had to give it up. But there was a lot of coordinating, and there were some Caucasians in that helping, especially the ones that still wanted us to come clean their house. Okay? Okay. Shit, it wasn't like they wanted to still get their house clean and do all these other services. You know? Yeah. Dr. King, a man who I admired, but I tell you, I love Malcolm. I love Malcolm. And of course, if you're my age or older, then you know where you were, just like all the other incidents in history, that when it happens, you know where you were, you know how it felt. And of course, the killing of Dr. King set off riots all across the country. All across the country, you know. But one thing we must understand is that even though James Earl Ray was alleged to be to have been the lone gunman, and how all that, and you just got to go, you know, for yourself and do some research for yourself. There's a lot of good documentaries out when they talk about Dr. King and his death, and you know, Memphis, the fire department, the police department, all of it, just a lot. You know, Jesse possibly being an informant. Some say definitely being an informant, you know. But he was a great man. He was a great man. And so, of course, here in Atlanta, he was born here. And on Auburn Avenue, his center, the King Center for Nonviolent Social Change. I hope they take that damn Gandhi statue out of there. They have a statue of Gandhi in there. Because of Gandhi's work coming back from South Africa into India and trying to help his people in India against the British. And of course, even though there were huge numerical numbers, but they have no weapons. Hell, if they had weapons, they would have fought the British. Shit, there's no doubt about it. But because they didn't have it, nonviolence had to be the way. Had to be the way. And it's the same here. We're outmanned and outgunned. And so nonviolence, to try to get things changed, had to be the way. But of course, we can also see that when violence struck, you know, actions came about. You know. And so Dr. King took that method, used that particular methodology that Gandhi employed. And that's why they have that statue. Did it? And of course, you got to know the history and how racist Mahatma Gandhi was against African people, calling us Kaffirs. The same word that was used, just like the word nigger, in South Africa. But hey, and to me, when you know, if you didn't know, but once you know, that's why you should change. That's why a lot of stuff today, you know, I know the sororities and fraternities, they're having their anniversaries, you know, and I know, to me, these Greek, we got to be very aware of everything that we, I'm just saying this, brothers and sisters, it should be. Everything we should be about, it should be about us. Everything we should be about us. Organizations. That's like, to me, that's why if you want the NAACP to be truly effective, change the damn name from the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Everything, as we go into this, as we're already in this new millennium, this new decade, and I know that those of us in the Pan-African Federalist Movement, we want the change this decade. There's a piece that we say in this decade, the change that's going to happen in Africa. You know, I was trying to find a piece with Dr. King, and I saw it, and I lost it. I know, man, I feel bad about that because it was a very good piece on him in Africa and basically tying Dr. King to an idea of Pan-Africanism. You know, so I wish I had that piece. I apologize. But one thing that Dr. King understood, that he was black. Yes, he used Negro at the time because that was the word. And he even mentioned in this one particular piece that he talks about being black. I am black and beautiful. I'm proud to be black. You know, because of course that was, you know, we're evolving. But to me, today, no. The word black to describe us should not be. That's me. We should be African. Because for those of us who describe ourselves as black, many of those who describe themselves as black don't want to be African. I'm black. You know, when I say that, I think of people like Stephen A. Smith and, what's his name? Steve Harvey. And there's many more. They don't want to be white, but they want what Caucasians have. They want to be as free to be just like any Caucasian. And many of them are because they have the wherewithal. They have the money. They have the position. They have the prestige. But they don't want to be African. And nor do they want to help Africa. But that ain't Dr. King. No, that is not Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He wanted us to be able to be free. He didn't want us to integrate and leave our communities. He wanted us to build our communities. You know, that's what he wanted to do. You know, there's always some great quotes. I'm quite sure you know some of the great quotes of Dr. King. And some of the quotes, they always present them. And that's why they always, when they talk about Dr. King on his commemoration day, you know, the second Monday in January, they always, you know, talk about I Have a Dream. Or the third Monday, I apologize. The third Monday, you know. Yeah, because the next year it'll be the 16th. 2024, it'll be his birthday, the 15th. On 2024, it'll be on his birthday, which is cool because this day, January 17th, is Lumumba Day. And we're going to talk about Lumumba in the second hour. It's Lumumba Day. So just today, it is being shared because the day is January 17th, the day Lumumba was killed. But Dr. King was a phenomenal man, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Inspirational, great quotes, dynamic speaker. You know, he is a good husband, he's a good father, good man. You know, any indiscretion, though, that he might have had, it's nothing. You know, but of course, J. Edgar Hoover, in fact, labeled Dr. King public enemy number one, and then labeled the Black Panthers, anybody else that you know, he labeled that to Malcolm, because when Malcolm, having the issues that he was starting to have with Elijah Muhammad, you know, he recognized Malcolm's potential to be a very powerful man. You know, to be a very powerful man. And so we got to, you know, we got to find a way to get rid of him. We had to find a way to get rid of Martin Luther King. In fact, they used to call him Martin Luther Coon so many times. I don't know, remember who was that who said that, you know, he's talking about, you know, Martin Luther Coon. I can't remember what Caucasian it was. But it might have been one of them redneck hillbillies down there. You know, maybe Bull Connor, I don't know. No, but it was a politician. It's a politician. I mean, if you know, give me a call. 215-490-9832. You know. And so they definitely wanted to get rid of Dr. King. They definitely wanted to get rid of Dr. King. Because he posed a serious threat. And there were also a lot of Caucasians because of the liberal time that it was. You can see today, there's deep divisions. Yes, there's some Caucasians and even Republicans that quote Dr. King. There was a piece in the Caucasians who are challenging critical race theory about the founded greatness of the founding fathers and the message of Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King, you know. See, when they're living and doing what they're doing, they're vilified, they're hated. But once I can, you know, when I look at all of them, I look at Muhammad Ali. When Muhammad Ali became the heavyweight champion, oh man, talking the way he was talking. Number one, they hated him because they didn't want no American African being that braggadocious. You know, it reminded them of the unforgivable blackness, the unforgivable blackness of Jack Johnson. Great documentary, Unforgivable Blackness, Jack Johnson, and what he was doing, you know, beating up white folks, beating up white, and, you know, of course, the baddest man in the world is supposedly the heavyweight champion of the world. And, of course, he was beating white folks up and running around with white women. They had to create the Mann Act where you can't take a woman across state lines for prostitution or illegal means. And, of course, you know, he lost. And I think he was intentionally losing. Of course, they wanted to put him in jail. And he escaped, went to Mexico. Jack Johnson vilified him, hated him, definitely wanted to get him. I was surprised nobody shot his ass, you know, while he was beating the white folks up. Because I don't know if they told a security check at some of those big fights he had. Because some of those fights, they just built an arena outdoors, you know, just put wood together and make some benches and that kind of thing, you know. But when Muhammad Ali became silent and no longer in the Nation of Islam, but was a promoter of El Islam, and then he started to lose his voice, then he became beloved. He became beloved. See, he became like a martyr, you know. And it happened to me when he went to the Mayo Clinic, you know. Because how many fighters develop? Not many. Let's be real. And Muhammad Ali didn't take a lot of punishment. Towards the end of his career, yeah, he did. But not as bad as it would seem, because Muhammad Ali was still, you know, he wasn't. But who knows the amount of punishment that just needed to happen to him to cause him to have, you know. Yeah. But then became somebody who was a beloved figure, because he ain't talking now. And he's just talking about El Islam, handing out pamphlets and so forth. Yeah, I remember when he went to, out of Syria or Iran, I think it was, some hostages out of Iran. Not the hostages in Iran of back in the 70s, because back in the 70s, Muhammad Ali was still hated, you know. He had just gotten his license back in the early 70s. In fact, the first fight that he had was here in Atlanta against Jerry Quarry. But they hated him like they hated Malcolm. They hated anybody who had the nerve to challenge white folks in their government and to call into question how they operated. They had the nerve. That's why they hated Dr. King. Because he put it in their face, the hypocrisy in their face. Some of the great quotes of Dr. King, you know, some of his greatest quotes. Never forget that everything Hitler did in Germany was legal. The point he's making, that all of this stuff was legal. Segregation. No, lynching wasn't legal, but maybe it was in their minds, because weren't we lynched on a daily basis for no reason sometimes? That I send my son down the road with some things for his aunt. He walks down the road. He don't come back. Next thing I know, he's lynched simply because the Caucasian wanted to do it. Maybe he got drunk and just wanted to do it. And nobody suffers the consequences. Just like the Emmett Till. Check it out for yourself. The sheriff said, when they found Emmett Till and got his body out of there, bury him right now. Bury him right now. We'll tell him up in Chicago. He's been buried. The whole situation is over. But the courage of Mamie Till. She said, no, I want my son. I want him back here. She went to Rainer's funeral home in Chicago. And he had him sent back. But the coroner, or whoever did the embalming and so forth, he sealed it. He said, okay, I'll send it back up, but I don't want y'all to open this. But they did, because she was insistent. And then when she saw what she saw, she wanted the world to see what they had done to her son. Right. Dr. King said, our only hope today lies in our ability to recapture the revolutionary spirit and to go out to a sometimes hostile world, declaring eternal hostility to poverty, racism, militarism. That's what he said. That's Dr. King's three evils. To go out to a world, a hostile world, declaring eternal hostility to poverty, the economic exploitation, racism, the belief that one, the Europeans or Caucasians or the Yorugu is superior over all others, less than 10% of the world's population, but yet still control to this very day damn near 90% of the wealth. Doesn't make any, as Dr. Bobby Wright said, it defies all laws of probability. Bobby Wright said, they number some psychopaths. Militarism. Still, no matter what happens in the years, the decades, the military budget is always over 50%. All the other things, infrastructure, education, all these things that should be done to help this country, military gets the money. Military. That's why today the biggest military and the most expensive is the United States. That's why the United States is the military arm of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. It is the military arm. It's the military arm for New Zealand, for Australia. It's the military arm for many countries who identify themselves as European, in South America, Central America, whatever. It's the military arm of any of the territories that Caucasians have control of. It's the military arm that they can call upon in Israel. Anywhere else that they have control over, they can. America is the military arm. The three evils that Europeans perpetuate: racism, economic exploitation, and militarism. But this is my favorite quote. And we're going to go to a break. Ended on my favorite quote, Dr. King. And when I heard this quote, because you don't hear it too often, and of course they always talk about you know, the March on Washington, I Have a Dream, and all those things. They see, that's what they want to perpetuate, that image. They don't want to perpetuate the radical side of Dr. King. Although this quote is not, you know, this quote is directed to us. This is directed to us. That's why I made me, because I love it. He said, nothing in this world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. And I say he's directed into us because, you know, it could be applied to everybody else, but it's directed to us, I believe. Nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Sincere. That means heartfelt, directed, sincere. Ignorance? Now, ignorance in itself, brothers and sisters, is not bad. Ignorance is simply absence of knowledge. And it's always, you know, you always can impart new knowledge. You always can grow. So, you know, like for me, I may be ignorant of quantum physics. Well, of course, if somebody explains quantum physics to me, that it eliminates my ignorance. So ignorance in itself is not bad. But to be sincere to it, dedicated to it, and then conscientious stupidity. Conscientious means that you are aware that you're stupid and you don't want to know. Just like people say, you know, if we knew better, we'd do better. I understand that. But many of us don't want to know better. Because by knowing better, you have to change your behavior. You know better. You can't continue to do that. But I'd rather be stupid. I'd rather be ignorant. I'd rather be oblivious of the facts so I can continue to do what I'm doing that may be harmful to myself and to my people and to my community. And that's an unfortunate fact to some of us. Yeah, brothers and sisters. We're going to talk about Patrice Lumumba, Lumumba Day, when we come back. And then after we talk about Lumumba, we want to open it up to you to talk about whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about MLK? You want to talk about Lumumba? You want to talk about what's going on? Look forward to it. Also, too, this Wednesday, Brother Gabriel will be my guest, and we're going to talk about a number of good subjects. One of the things is that what the Black Hebrew Brothers are doing as it relates to the virus. And so I'm looking forward to Brother Gabriel, and that's this Wednesday. And hopefully I'll have Brother Bomani on for Friday. I'd like to have some, trying to get guests for our people. And because sometimes I know y'all don't want to hear my voice. You don't want to hear my voice all the time. But, hey, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm dedicated to trying to help raise the consciousness of our people. That's why I'm here. I'm here. This program, because this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto of this program, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Just the bottom line. Appreciate those who do listen. Got a number of callers in the queue, all right? And I appreciate all those who call in. Believe me, I do. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I'm
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Earth, wind, and fire. Power. I remember I first heard that way back in 70, I think it's 72, 50 years ago. And just, loved it. Power. Yeah. I did a program on power a few years ago. I need to do another one because, I mean, we need to understand what power really is. You know, because I know they talk about empower the people and all that kind of. No, we got to understand what power is. To me, the most definitive definition, excuse me, is Dr. Wade Nobles, clinical psychologist in the San Francisco Bay Area. Dr. Nobles said power. Power is not money. Power is not influence. Power is not politics, voting. Power ain't none of that. Power is not information, education. Power is not that. But power is the ability to define reality, then help, and then have others accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans went around the world defining reality and imposed that reality on other people. Imposed it on them to the extent that many became extinct, or some, let me put it a better term, some, because a lot of them just acquiesced to Europeans to such degree that to such demit degree that they are literally Caucasianized, whitewashed, whatever you want to put it. And to this very day. Other programming that we had here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban, Taki Kamban, and Kamal Kamban from 8 to 9 on Mondays. From 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. On Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 90, Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. This Saturday on Blog Talk Radio, American African Empowerment Saturday. And once again, the guest will be Dr. Bruce Bridges in talking about his book, Recapturing the African Mind, with Brother Marvin. That is this Saturday at 2 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You probably can go to blogtalkradio.com/ African American Empowerment Saturday, or you can call 845-277-9250. That's 845-277-9250. Blog Talk Radio, African American Empowerment Saturday. Yeah, I plan to give a listen. It's a good brother, Dr. Bruce Bridges. Today is the day that Patrice Lumumba was killed. He was murdered by the CIA, Belgium, but of course, you know, the Congo was Belgium's piece from the Berlin Conference of 1884-85, when the Europeans carved up Africa. After taking Africans for so many years, they decided, hey, let's just take the continent. you know, move in and take the continent and take its resources, the gold, the diamonds, the bauxite. Well, bauxite went in a deal then. Cobalt went in a deal then. It was gold and diamonds, you know. And that's how Europe became wealthy. That's how the queen can have that goddamn carriage. Man, I hate the British. I hate the French. I hate the Europeans. Especially the Europeans, because they made themselves out to look so righteous and so, you know, damn shame. Patrice Lumumba was the former prime minister of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He was a Congolese politician, independent leader, who served as the first prime minister of the Independent Democratic Republic of the Congo from June until September 1960. Served as the prime minister of the Independent Republic of Congo. He played a significant role in the transformation of the Congo from colonial, from being a colony, you know, of Belgium into an independent republic. Ideologically, an African nationalist and a Pan-Africanist, he led the Congolese nation movement from 1958 until he was assassinated. Shortly after the Congolese independence in 1960, a mutiny broke out in the army, making the beginnings of the Congolese crises. Lumumba appeared to the United States and the United Nations for help to suppress the Belgian-supported secession led by Moise Tshombe. Only thing I know, I'm not going to go too much into this, but all I know is Mobutu Seki Seko took over after he was killed, and he just pillaged and robbed the country. I know they had the rumble in the jungle in 75 in Zaire. That was what it was called then, in Kinshasa, the capital of Zaire. But I tell you, cause of death, assassination, execution by firing squad. If you want to, you know, if you ever heard, read about Patrice Lumumba, you know, he was, I mean, just cut up. His body was thrown into ash, into acid. In fact, one of the Europeans kept one of his teeth as a souvenir. Well, you know, they do that a lot. You know, cut off, you know, digits and penises and all that kind of stuff. Europeans do that. They cut their ass. So I'm not going to read that part. I'm going to just go back to some quotes by Patrice Lumumba. Yeah. He was the first prime minister. Like I said, he was assassinated through the assistance of the CIA and European nations, particularly of Belgium. And if you see in a European map, you see how small Belgium is, you know, and how rich they became, and how Leopold, who at the time became personally rich, you know. And if you remember, you know, rubber, getting rubber, and he would cut off their hands for those who did not meet their quota. In fact, chocolate hands in Europe became an issue, became an item. You know? And where did they get chocolate from, cocoa from? Exactly, from Africa. Everything from Africa. Yeah, everything from Africa. There's some quotes that I'm going to bring up. Here's a good quote. I'm going to just choose some of them. The colonists care nothing for Africa, for her own sake. They are attracted by Africa's riches, and their actions are guided by the desire to preserve their interests in Africa against the wishes of the African people. For the colonists, all means are good if they help them to possess these riches. Ever how they can manipulate, ever how they can get them, they'll get them. You know, I remember watching on film the arrest, how they were treating this man. Put him in the back of a truck, just beating him, grabbing him by his ears. Man, I tell you. Brothers and sisters, the more closely united we are, the better we will resist oppression, corruption, and those divisive maneuvers which experts in the policy of divide and conquer are exhorting to. Clearly, when we establish the unity of us as a people, those who would do us the wrong can't do it no more. And if we are united sincerely and committedly and have the dedication to fight off and repel any kind of an attempt. That's why I love Malcolm. That's why I love Malcolm. Because when the FBI came to him to try to turn or provide information against Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm said, no, I ain't got nothing. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't sell out. Wouldn't turn on him. That's what we must be. Patrice Lumumba, at the Brussels conference declaring of independence, the Congo elected Patrice Lumumba as the prime minister in June of 1930. He takes office. Lumumba's Independence Day speech at that time. Lumumba's assassination on this day, January 17th of 1961, just over 6 months after taking office. U.S., Belgium, France, Britain, United Nations involvement in his assassination. Lumumba's letter to his wife, Pauline. The day will come when history will speak. Africa will write its own history. It will be the history of glory and dignity. Ashe. The day will come when history will speak. Africa will write its own. It will be the day of history, of glory, and dignity. Those divisions which the colonial powers, the so-called colonial powers, have always exploited the better to dominate us, have played an important role and are still playing that role in the suicide of Africa. Africa unity and national independence speech he made. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. We must be unified. African independence and interdependence is vitally important. That's why, to me, from this program, every January 17th, we'll talk about, just like I did and have been doing for years, talking about Dr. King. May 19th, talking about Malcolm. Those people who I feel, and there'll be others. I want to put some light on Marnar Delaney, put some light on many other brothers and sisters who are important in the lives and should be recognized in importance in the lives of our people. And as an example, third world is a state of mind. And until we change our attitude as Africans, if there is a fourth world, fifth, or even a sixth world, we will be in it and doing all that we can to improve ourselves. Political independence has no meaning if it is not accompanied by a rapid economic and social development. Once independence is gained, you go into the mold of nation building. You go into the mold of nation building. The people have to make the sacrifice of those who will build the roads, those who will build the schools, those who will build the subdivisions or cities or whatever. You go into that to build the country, and then you utilize and extract the wealth. And the Congo, seriously, all of Africa, dear brothers and sisters, still at this time has more wealth than any place on this continent. And yet we as African people are running away from it. Don't want to be Africans. We have a chance to be Africans in a position of respect and nobility and be a player in the world instead of the pawns that we are. The day will come when history will speak, but it will not be the history which will be taught in Brussels, Belgium, or in Paris, France, or in Washington, D.C., or the United Nations. Africa will write its own history, and in both the North and the South, it will be a history of glory and dignity. Africans will do it. Malcolm said in his tribute, because he died in 1961, 31 years old. The greatest black man who ever walked the African continent. He didn't fear anybody. He had those people, the colonists, so scared that they had to kill him. They couldn't buy him. They couldn't frighten him. They couldn't reach him. This is what Malcolm said in his tribute to Patrice Lumumba. He could not, just like Malcolm, he could not be bought. He wouldn't sell out. He had dignity. Yeah, dignity. The tragedy with Africa is that those with ideas are not in power, while those in power have no ideas. When the people have a chance, they still vote for those with no ideas. He's so correct. Yeah. They still vote for those who had no ideas. I am not a communist. The colonists have campaigned against me throughout the country because I am a revolutionary and demand the abolition of the colonial regime, which ignored our human dignity. They look upon me as a communist because I refuse to be bribed by the imperialists. That's what they do. They label you that. You must be a socialist if you don't go along with what I'm trying to do. If you don't capitulate to me, if you don't acquiesce to me and what I want, if you don't take my money that I offer you, the chum change that I offer you to do my bidding. Yeah. Without dignity, there is no liberty. Without justice, there is no dignity. And without independence, there is no
free men. Yeah. Give us a call if you want to join this conversation, if you want, or whatever you want to talk about. It's that time. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Today is the day that it's going to be Lumumba Day, his death day. And it's January 17th. And King Day, of course, is today because it falls on the third Monday of January. Third Monday of January. Like I said, 2024 will be right on his birthday of January 15th. I'm just thumbing through here and I've seen a quote by Robert Mugabe, the lion. And he says here, at least I left my people with land. Mandela left with poems and quotes and a statue. And it's true that the land in South Africa, I mean, it is ridiculous, family. It is ridiculous how we can just still, I know what causes this is that in over a longer period of time, and we have been subjugated to them for a longer period of time than our brothers and sisters on the continent, but still it is there, the fear that we have of Europeans, you know? This quote's a good quote here. He says, we will show the world what black people can do when they work in freedom, and we shall make of the Congo the pride of Africa. It is definitely has that potential. Also, too, Nigeria had that potential to be the pride of Africa. And, of course, both of them, corrupt leadership. I mean, both of them have tremendous resources. And it's a damn shame because the Nigerians, who happen to be some of the most intelligent, supposedly, of Africans, have turned out to be the most corrupt, you know? So the phone lines are open, 646. 646, good afternoon.
Yeah, oh, what's going on, man? I just turned in, man. What's happening?
Well, not much. We're talking today about, of course, Dr. King. Today is his celebration day, commemoration day. You know, his birthday is January 15th, but it's the third Monday of January that they commemorate Dr. King's birthday. So we talked about Dr. King, and we tried, and I tried to give the idea of the revolutionary, the radical Dr. King, as opposed to the milk toast, buttermilk pacified system. Doctor image they get of Dr. King of some dreamer, you know. And, of course, too, talking about Patrice Lumumba. Today was the day that he was assassinated in 1961 by the United States, the CIA, European countries.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what America does.
Yeah.
That's their form of democracy around the world, but can't give their own people in this country democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, King, I'm at the point, man, the man been gone for a long, long time.
Yeah.
When he was here, he did great work. He set the stage for a lot of things. My whole issue is, why haven't we moved forward to the point to where as we identify and celebrate the new kings? Why hasn't we as a people expanded on what King did and what what he has done. So, I mean, man, I ain't really too caught up in it, to be honest.
Well, see, the thing is this, and as it should be, is what you should be looking at. What did Dr. King do, and what did he tell us? What changes should we make? Where are we at? Give us a measurement of where we are from that time that he was assassinated to this point here. What kind of progress? It's almost coming up on 50 years. 50 years, a long time.
And we as a people, if we're going to be honest, we haven't progressed. We haven't moved forward to the point to where as we're on the world stage, that we're doing the necessary things that we should be doing to have sovereignty, liberation, and all that is necessary to be a free people. I mean, no, man, we basically continue to look at a dead man for leadership that is just not there, bro. It's just not there. I mean, his words should be used as examples of how we move forward as a people. But other than that, man, come on, man. I mean, seriously. I mean, you got to have new ideas.
Yeah.
You can't continuously having the ideas of King as your essence.
Well, see, the thing about King, because of what he espoused in terms of the brotherhood of man and, you know, working together and da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, the things that this country has always given lip service to, but on King's Day, you give that idea, and so therefore you have children who do poetry reading and essay reading and so forth, and you have programs where you have various speakers, and they talk about his legacy, and they talk about where we are today as it relates to what he was talking about and so forth. It's just pomp and circumstance. It's just, once again, symbolism without substance.
Yeah.
See? So.
Can I
say something?
Sure, you can. Hold on. Just hold on. I'll get you in. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's no, if we're going to be honest about it, there's no real moral character in regards to how we move forward as a people, or really even as a standard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What is the standard? To be like European? To have things that European have? To use them as their example of excellence? I mean, man, you know, the bottom line is we need new visionary leadership. We need people who are going to put forward a different idea and perspective, and to take, as one would say, the radical king and move forward on that instead of, you know, this milquetoast BS that they pushing all day today.
Right. Well, I mean, we need a cadre of leadership. We need a leadership that is developed not in the academies that in this system, but even outside. And like, say, for instance, you could be an academic in this system, but you know, your mindset is outside of this, even though you've been academically trained. But you, just like there are many of our brothers and sisters, as we know, who are eloquent in terms of how this system is and what it has done to us, and they can articulate that very well, even though they've been trained in it. So they haven't succumbed so deeply, you know, that I got my degree from Michigan State and I, you know, all this other bullshit. They recognize what these systems have done to us. And so what needs to happen, those men and women need to come together and say, this is going to be the directions for our people. We need a cadre of leadership, just like Dr. Clark said. So we don't need a charismatic leader. We need a charismatic program. And so therefore, when we have the spokesperson out front and they kill him or her, then we just turn the page and we keep on going. Because why? It ain't the person, it's the program. And so that's the kind of thing that we need. We need a charismatic program, a program that talks about us overcoming all of these things that are happening to us. Let me get my sister in here, brother Jay. Just hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right, dear brother. Appreciate you, man. All right, Queen Lumumba, how are you doing, dear?
Thank you, Baba. Can you hear me?
Very well. Go ahead.
Yes, Baba. I was just in the listening, reflective mood today.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to you and all the other speakers about Dr. King and all the other leaders who have come before us. And for us, it's not about, if we did half, if you think about Dr. King, and I must respect that man, because where we are today is not his responsibility. It is ours.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did half, a quarter, an eighth, an inch of what he did, we wouldn't be sitting here in the same position or worse that we were in. Mm-hmm. 40, 50, 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not his responsibility. He did his job, and he did it well, and he did it honorably. So I will not have anybody disparage Dr. King or his memory. Get out there and do something that he did. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of criticizing, we can do that very well. Let me calm down. We can do that. We down each other real good. We eat each other's flesh real, real good. Nobody does it better than us. But on the other hand, all of our leaders, not just Dr. King,
mm-hmm.
on the other hand, where do we go from here? Who are we really?
That's a good thing. Really, I like that, Queen.
I do.
And we need to ask ourselves that question. We need to seriously ask ourselves, who are we, and are we all we ought to be? The problem, of course, is that we're in a system that is not ours. So the question becomes,
of course we are. We will be long. Yeah. Of course we are. Mm-hmm. We know. But they can't take away our DNA. They can't take away who we are. They cannot take away our legacy and our inheritance once the truth has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it. Mm-hmm. We can succumb to it. We can give it away. We can hide it. We can run away. We can dance. We can do all of that, but they can't take it unless the true truth crust the earth will rise again.
Okay.
And that's where we are now. So we don't, you know, look at ourselves. Look at ourselves now. We can't hold him and Malcolm and Patrice and Kwame and any of the other ones that stood before us, stood up.
Mm-hmm.
Before we, you know, they did their job. It's time for us to do ours. Peace and love.
All right, my sister Ashe. All right, Queen. Put you back on mute. If you want to jump in this conversation, hit star twice. Hit star twice. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, my sister. How are you doing? 404.
Hello?
Yes. Yep. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, greetings.
Greetings, my sister. Good.
I enjoyed the program. I thought that was awesome. To highlight the birthdays of two great leaders, Chief Lumumba and Martin Luther King. And I just want to agree with my sister. I'm feeling her. I'm giving her a high five. I'm saying, I say to my sister.
Right on.
Lumumba. Yeah, I'm giving praise to Baba Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yes.
feel he was brave. I mean, that was a brave and courageous, committed, dedicated freedom fighter who loved his people. And he did a lot for us, too. Mm-hmm. He was giving rise for our people. And he inspired our people. We needed some inspiration. And he educated us. I mean, there's quotes, there's stories. You can hear some of his speeches. He's talking about black is beautiful, and that was very revolutionary at the time. He espoused that to us and how we move forward. So I say to him,
I agree.
In support of him, and I feel that we can learn a lot from him. And continue to do so.
Sure.
And so far as I hear things like they say, did nobody like him or follow him at the time? I mean, I know there was people that didn't like him and follow him at the time, but there were thousands of people that followed him.
Yes.
So,
oh,
I mean,
no. Listen, I think the majority.
You see
the majority of us as a people followed him. The majority
of
us.
Speaking to thousands of supporters, so people say, well, didn't nobody. I mean, Al Sharpton was saying, did nobody like him at all? I don't know what that's about, but
people will change or revise history as it fits their perceptions or their mindset. So that, revisionism is always going to happen.
Right.
But the reality is, looking at the history objectively, and Dr. King, he was a man of principle. Yes, he was a human being, but the issues that are affecting our people, he was on it. He was there.
Yeah, he was helping the people that was protesting.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
And because he began to challenge this system in a different way, as opposed to just fighting for public accommodations for us to sit on the same damn toilet seat as white folks or drink from the same water fountain. When he challenged the three things that he said, the three evils of this system, racism, economic exploitation, and militarism, when he had that speech 1 year, 1 year to the day, April 4th of 67 at the church, Riverside Church in New York, talking about the Vietnam War and so forth and other things that happened to poor people. To me, that was when they said, we got to get rid of him. That was when they said, we got to do something. We got to get rid of him. And of course, because we don't have a cadre of leadership and we look to a charismatic leader, then once he was assassinated, they knew that that's it. Once Malcolm had already been assassinated by this same system, I don't give a damn who shot him. This system did it. Yet I agree that maybe the Nation of Islam created the atmosphere by it could be done very easily. And as we now know, the two of the men who supposed to have done it, who languished in prison for many years, for over two decades, longer than that, over 20-some years. But anyway, so the bottom line is we as African people need to evaluate ourselves at where we are right now and begin to formulate the group or groups that we need to get ourselves out of here, out of this madness.
I say. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, you have made a comment about that demagogue, that agent provocateur, that liar, that under my J. Edgar Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
So, his goal was to destroy our people, disrupt and destroy our people. So, whatever he said, I don't believe it. So he accused Martin Luther King of infidelity, adultery,
mm-hmm.
just because he said it. That's his goal, to go around and disrupt, and they fabricate and lie. And if Martin Luther King said he didn't do it, and his wife didn't say he didn't do it, then that's it.
That's it.
Don't even
that's between them.
It's further history. Right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add that part.
Right on. Okay, my sister. Okay.
Yeah, but I said, Martin Luther King Jr., yeah, freedom fighter, and I raise it in honor of his name.
Right on. I don't, my sister. You bet. All right. I'll just put you on hold. If you want to get back in, hit star twice. Peace. Yeah, I agree. I know that, like I said, for some of us who became more radical, and of course, I know at one time, those of us who were more radical challenged Dr. King and wanted him to be more radical. He was trying to lead a mass movement of everybody against the unfortunate evils of this system. And so, they welcome Caucasians, they welcome Native Americans, they welcome Latinos. They felt that more the people involved in it, and that wasn't, although Malcolm said at the time that he started Muslim Ops Incorporated and the Organization for African American Unity, he was saying, I'm willing to work with anybody who's willing to work with us to deal with these issues. And I think when you look at that moment and in time, even though they never met, and I mentioned the fact that I had a T-shirt on last Friday when I did the program on Ma'at. I had my Ma'at sweatshirt on. I have a Ma'at T-shirt, and I have a T-shirt with Malcolm and Martin on it. That was sold to me by brother, my friend, Brother Ron Pounds, who's an ancestor. And I want to say to you, that was over 20 some years ago. And both of them, the screen is still good. I ain't lying. And I'm aware of them. In fact, every time I go out of town, I put the King and Malcolm t-shirt on. That's what I wear when I go to the airport. You see me at the airport, I got that t-shirt on. United we stand together, you know, because imagine if that happened. And of course they knew that could not happen. You can't have these two charismatic individuals coming together and saying to their constituents, so to speak, come on, y'all, let's put all these petty differences aside and let us work together for the betterment of our people. Come on, Paul.
Hey, Oshie.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Why are we the only people in this country that have to identify or be identified with having a leader? Who could you identify who's the white leader? Who's the Hispanic leader? Who's the Chinese leader? Why are we always identified as the only people that have to have a so-called leader? I just don't understand it. I mean, is it a form of manipulation or what is it? It got to be something.
Well,
because other group has a leader,
right?
Or do white people identify someone as a leader within that environment? You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, there is spokespersons, but once again, there's group. Because like within the indigenous people, they don't have a leader. You know, there are people who have merged, like, you know, Russell Means and so forth at one time. And but yet there were always a council. There were always a group, you know. For us, at one time, whoever was the head of the NAACP, back in the day, of course, Du Bois. And you know what happened with that situation with Du Bois and Marcus Garvey. And then, of course, there was other leadership, you know. You know, so.
But it's just real interesting.
I like to think of that.
How the narrative okay. is
okay,
put
Queen.
Forward.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's because those others, they have an identity. They identify with what serves them. They have an identity. We have a scattered identity, if we have one at all. Some of us do. But we look to a leader because we have scattered identities instead of a whole, concise, precise identity and a self-determination. Well, they know what they want and what they're going to do as a unit, as a whole, as a people. And we have yet to embrace that. So that may be one of the answers why we look to it.
And that's a good
I disagree with that.
Well, that's a good point, Queen. I like that. But the reality is that we're scattered because we live in America, and America's about individualism. You know, we too sing America. We believe that this is just as much as ours as anybody else's. And so as a consequence, we follow and go along with the dictates of what America is about, you know.
That still speaks to the identity. That doesn't define who you are because of where you are. That mm-hmm. doesn't define who you are, who you choose to be once you become aware of who you are. That doesn't eliminate that fact. Ours is ours, and we have to embrace it.
I got some background noise. Please mute yourselves, brothers and sisters. If then once you mute yourself and you want to talk, hit star twice and you'll get you in. Okay. All right, brother Jay, you had something.
I disagree with that because everybody, nationality or whoever, is always able to identify themselves. Now, how they identify themselves is a whole nother matter, but they're not having other people strictly be the ones who identify them. You know what I mean? They they take it upon themselves to create their own identity, how they see themselves, how they respond, how they interact, how they do the necessary things for their people to be able to move forward. I mean,
let me say this,
you know, that's what's important.
Let me say this, Jay. You know, when you look at other people, if you use that particular term, other people, you know, culturally, they know who they are. Even Latinos, even though that's a mixed bag because the imposition of Spanish onto those cultures and they more associate Spanish as opposed to their indigenous or even any other culture that have been, like Puerto Ricans. Puerto Ricans identify with being Spanish. They sure in the hell don't identify with being African, okay? They identify with being Spanish. It's the same thing with the Dominican Republicans, okay? It's the same thing with Haitians. It's the same thing. Nobody, those who are truly African don't want to identify with being African. And that is our problem. It's our problem here. We're black. We don't want to identify with being African. And being black in America is being like being white in America. You're an individual. You're not a collective group. You're an individual. And I'm doing my thing. You know, oh, man, my time is up. Oh, you're trying to do my thing. My time.
Well, you know, lastly, OC, one of the biggest problems with us as a people is that we don't understand what culture is. I mean, if you're going to be truthful about it, most black people, if you ask them to define what culture is, they're not able to define what culture is because their parents don't teach them.
Well, the thing is that we have been made ashamed of us being us. We have been made to be ashamed of who we are culturally. We're made ashamed of that. Hey, listen, let me jump off so I can do that. And if some of you want to continue this conversation, just hold on. So let me, you know, disconnect from the radio piece. And if y'all want to hold on, we'll continue the conversation. So once again, brothers and sisters, we thank you. Yeah. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Hope to see you on Wednesday, family. You be safe. Peace.